listening to the CCA Podcast.
Praise God. So great. Well, hi there, pretty lady.
Hey, handsome guy.
I don't know. I don't know what to do with that.
So I'm Ryan. This is my beautiful wife, Linnea. We're the lead pastors here, and we want to just welcome you again this morning. Hasn't this been great thus far?
Yeah, wonderful
to be able to worship God together as family. We're a growing community of faith here at Calvary, and we're all about one thing. We're all about Jesus. We are all about helping as many people as we possibly can here in Seattle and abroad, all the way around the world. Did you know we have close to 80 missionaries and growing that we support? Did you know that? So starting here in Seattle and around the world, we're all about helping as many people as we can find and follow Jesus. We're in the middle of a Relationship Matters series. This is our second week. This is exciting times as life is all about relationships. I think you and I are teaching next week together, right?
We are. It's going to be called Okay, I'm Offended, Now What? And I just feel like that would be a great one for both of us to speak to, because you get it.
So we're pushing close to 20 years. Can you believe that? Isn't that awesome? Together, married. And we've done...
I still like you.
That's a good thing. I like you, too.
I like you,
yeah,
genuinely.
I like you, too. It's fun because we've done everything from marriage ministry to singles ministry, and we just have a heart for relationships and people, so we're so glad you were with us this morning. Don't miss next week. Bring a friend. Even you can text them now if you want. Let them know, hey, relationship matters. We're in a really good series right now with a lot of practical, biblical, encouraging things we can talk about. What else? What else is going on?
Well, we have no. That's it. I don't want to muddy the waters with anything else. I think.
All right. Well, let's get into the word. Anybody appreciate Linnea? I know I do. Thank you, Pastor Hallie. Thank you, Pastor Linnea. Thank you for this morning. All those who stood. There are people in our family of God here that I didn't know were veterans, and so again, we thank you. My grandfather, Grandpa George. Who passed away when I was but 4 years old. I do remember him. He fought in Korean War, and he fought in World War II. He actually served close to 30 years in 3 out of the 5 military branches. He was in the Army, he was in the Navy, he was in the Air Force. In Korean War alone, he flew 57 missions in Korean War and was actually given a Purple Heart awarded for the shrapnel that he took on in that war. So we honor all the vets here, and we thank you from our heart to yours for your service. Also today, if you didn't know, is the U.S. Marine Corps birthday is today. And this week, obviously tomorrow being Veterans Day, take time, press the pause button. Send somebody a text or a thank you call. Thank a vet. Be Jesus and extend your hands to someone and bless them. Would you do that? Also want to remind you this Wednesday is World Kindness Day. So think of somebody this week all the way around you can be kind to. Would you open your Bibles with me? This morning we're looking at the 11th chapter of the book of Acts. Again, this is week number 2 in the Relationship Matters series. Today we're going to be looking at the big idea of the power of kindness in Seattle. If our great city needs anything, it's kindness. And we're going to be extrapolating this 11th chapter in detail this morning. This chapter, starting at verse 19... I'll be reading in the New International Version, and this talks about the first century Christians' example, and we're looking at this specifically because it's in this chapter you'll see that the believers, the body of Christ, was first defined as Christian. here in Antioch. And so we're going to look at this together. And we're going to believe God to do some great things this morning. Amen? So read with me. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Well, news of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. A growing community, we read about here. Verse 25, then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, we know as Paul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So the big idea this morning is that relationships are established and fortified through kindness. True kindness is built through spending time with Jesus. Relationships are established and fortified through kindness. True kindness is built through spending time with Jesus. If this were a song this morning, I would sing it with these words. Listen to this story. He was a grandson of slaves and born in a poor New Orleans town. His father abandoned him, and his mother was a prostitute. It was a cruel beginning. Early in life, he notably proved to be a gifted musician and made a habit of singing in the city streets. One day, the Karnofskys, a Jewish family who had immigrated to America from Lithuania, had compassion for this 7-year-old and adopted him into their home. It was there for the first time in his life he was treated with kindness. Every night before bed, Mrs. Karnofsky would sing him Russian lullabies. The Karnofskys even gave him money to buy his first instrument and encouraged him in his growing musical talents. When the little boy grew up, in memory of the Karnofskys, he used the melodies from his childhood lullabies for some of his music hits and faithfully wore the Star of David as a tribute. You may not recognize his Yiddish nickname, Satchmo, which means big cheeks, but you will probably recognize this man's famous voice. Listen to this song.
I see trees of green, red roses too.
Now, if you know the words, when we get to the chorus, sing with me.
And I think to myself,
sing it real loud.
What a wonderful world.
Let's do one more verse, shall we? Just because it feels good. Doesn't it feel good?
I see skies of blue.
Let's put that picture up while we sing this together. And I think
to myself,
there he is, Satchmo.
What a wonderful world.
Yeah. Give it up for kindness, right? Give it up for kindness. It's the power of kindness. The power of kindness. How do you go from singing in the streets as a poor little boy to singing, "What a Wonderful World"? Adopted in. Isn't that a cool story? Adopted into a family. Thank God for the power of kindness. It changed his life. It's changed mine. Hasn't it changed yours? It's the power of kindness in Seattle. This morning, I'd like to think about three simple but disruptive questions. They're three simple questions, but they're disruptive because it causes us to stop, to push the pause button, and to reflect. Number one, who around me needs Jesus' kindness? Who around me needs Jesus' kindness? You know, this week I went down. One of my favorite places is to go to the Starbucks down here, the Green Lake Starbucks. I love it. I love the staff there. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. I study there. I meet new people there. It's just great. Good coffee, good company. Well, I did something this week that was fun. I'm sure maybe some of you have done it as well, but the barista at the front was making my coffee, and before I decided to go, I had an idea, and I said to the front register clerk, I said, the next person that comes in, I'm going to buy their coffee, but don't tell them it's me. Just tell them somebody was kind and wanted to pick up the bill on their drink. And sure enough, I waited and I watched. It's kind of fun. Being kind is kind of fun, by the way. I wait and they come in and they go to pay. And sure enough, Starlin, one of the workers down there, says, it's been taken care of. Someone just wanted to be kind and appreciate you today. Have an awesome day. She's like, she's looking around, me? Really? Wow, kind of cool. I mean, you could see it changed her. It changed, she was just, wow. I mean, wouldn't you, I don't care how much money you make. Isn't it great to be given a gift? Isn't it great for somebody to just unleash kindness? Another time, we were down in San Jose on a ministry trip and did the same thing. Remember this? We were in the coffee house and I go, okay, that guy over there, I actually picked the most angry looking person in the coffee place. I just wanted to let's see what kindness does. And I said, that man over there, he's walking in. I says, I'm gonna take care of whatever he buys, whatever he wants, it's on me. And so he walks up and he's kind of grumpy, you know, and he places his order. You could just tell something was going on that morning, kind of like some of you I could tell walking in this morning. You just were just angry eyebrows, just mad, just something's going on, right? And it's like it changed him when the teller told him, when the clerk told him, they said, it's been taken care of. You don't have to worry about it. Somebody just wanted to be kind and take care of your morning coffee. And he's like, well, who was it? He wanted to know who it was. And they go, well, they wanted to remain anonymous and just be kind. And then somebody else kind of heard what was going on, and they asked. And then it began to change the atmosphere. I mean, just a simple, small, little kind act changed the atmosphere. Isn't that how it works? Isn't that how it's been done in your life? Where somebody was the hands and feet of Jesus and did something kind and it changed, even just something small. I love this. Aesop says, no act of kindness, no matter how small, even a cup of coffee, is ever wasted. Who has been Jesus to you and exemplified kindness in your life? I think of my granddaddy, who taught me how to have an appreciation for the prophets. One of my favorite books in the Bible is still Isaiah. Thanks to my granddaddy. And he taught me to have an insatiable hunger and drive for the Word of God. I think of my youth pastor, Jason Harper, who taught me how to pray and how to worship. He didn't play the piano all that great. It was like triads here and there, but we'd worship for hours. And he taught me how to seek God's face. I think of my dad, who taught me how to pray. I'd wake up early in the morning. I'd watch him praying for us, calling out his business and those, his business partners and his family and his friends. And I think of my mom who taught me how to intercede at the altar place and was with me when I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And who in your life has exemplified Jesus through kindness? Who outside the church, if I can ask this, who outside the four walls in our community can you be Jesus' kindness to? Has God put anyone on your heart? Are there friends or family members that he's put in you, that he's given you names and given you ideas of maybe coworkers or friends or neighbors of somebody outside the church? I love this, the way the scripture says it. It says, some of them, however, began to speak to Greeks also. You've got to understand that in the scripture, it was to the Jews only. This is the first century church, okay, among the brethren, among the sisters, among the body. And some of them, however, began to get out of the four walls, so to speak, and began telling what? The good news about the Lord Jesus. It was too good to just keep here. You see, we gather, we congregate like salt. We congregate to spread out north, south, east, and west in our city. We don't congregate just to be a clique and a club. We come together to grow, to strengthen each other. You've got to understand, scripture starts, it says, now those who had been scattered by the persecution, it's hard. There's it's going to get harder too. Let me help you, church. And so the persecuted church came together and they strengthened each other and they grew and they were courageous, encouraged. See, courage is part of encourage, right? We get our courage with each other. We're in the middle of strength. And then they went out and some began telling. Some, are you going to be one of those some this morning who begin telling? Relationships matter to Jesus this morning, church. So relationships matter to us. Jesus loves Seattle, so we love Seattle. The Bible says this. It says, be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be kind to each other. We start here, Scripture says. We start here in the family of God. We start with our family. We be kind to each other and then to who? To everyone else. Here's some relationship 101 advice from Jesus himself. He says, treat others as you want them to treat you. I couldn't say it any better myself. Jesus says, treat others as you want them to treat you. Why? Because he says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. We do a memory verse every week, and if you look on the back of your bulletin, this is our memory verse this week. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Kindness. It's the power of kindness in Seattle. Let's start simple. Let's start with getting somebody a cup of coffee. You know, this week on Thursday, not but a few days ago, the Lord gave us an idea, and it was really cool because we closed the office for a couple hours. It was awesome. It was cool. We closed the office. You know what we did? We went and we gave away coffee. We gave away over 80 cups of coffee. Yeah, and you know who? Who received it? Oh, they were so thankful, weren't they? Those who were there, wasn't it awesome? Wasn't it fun? Green Lake Elementary School. We said, you know, we're going to give a sip of kindness just to thank the teachers, the faculty, and the staff of what they're doing in our great community. Those who are with us on Wednesday nights, every time we pray for the West, we do what? We pray for those that are in the West, and we pray for Green Lake Elementary School. Every week we're over there pouring in. Every week we're over there tutoring and mentoring and doing what? Being kind. Being kind. We can start with the simplest things. Today when you're out and about, find somebody and unleash kindness. Think of what we've done at Green Lake and say, man, I can buy a cup of coffee. I can do something to be kind and to unleash hope. Who around me needs Jesus' kindness? Three simple but disruptive questions. Number one, who around me needs Jesus' kindness? Number two, will I be like Barnabas to those in need? First of all, who was Barnabas? And why do I even care? Right? That's probably, I mean, you should ask that when you read that. Who is Barnabas and why do I even care who this person was? Well, Barnabas, his name literally means son of consolation, encouragement. Barnabas was an encourager. There's one paraphrase that talks about how kind he was, because kindness and encouragement go hand in hand. He was kind-hearted. He was good-willed. He was a generous encourager. Listen to what Scripture says. Barnabas sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Have you sold your house lately or sold a piece of property and gave the money away? That's Barnabas. So that's why we care about who he was. I mean, he did some cool stuff. He was a kind-hearted, good-willed, generous encourager, Barnabas. Money talks, doesn't it? Well, think of it this way. Who are you generous and kind to? The people you love, hopefully. This was Barnabas. You know, it reminds me, not too long ago, if you're ever looking for a good place for corned beef, farmer's hash, right down the street at Portage Bay, they do it all day, every day. It's really good. Okay, so the reason why I brought that up was not just because I'm hungry and because I love corned beef and hash, but because I'm hungry and I love corned beef and hash. So this is a perfect segue into my story of Geraldine's Counter. Anybody ever been there? It's in Columbia City. All right. Yeah, hey, a couple people. Yeah. Well, if you're looking for a good corned beef hash, they do one well. The reason I bring this up is because not too long ago we went, and one of the things I love to do, I found it's a really great way of being a witness of Jesus, is to tip really big. It gets people's attention, especially those who are working and excellent, right? Please, Calvary, let's not stiff people. As a generous community of faith, let me just throw this out there as a simple way to be kind. So not too long ago, our waitress, she did just a fabulous job, and we tipped her, Pastor Lene and I tipped her really well. And I wrote on there, this is what I like to do. I just write, hey, awesome job, great job. You were excellent, whatever. You know, and then I always write in there like a little scripture, whatever the Lord gives me. This time I happen to write John 3:16, little happy face. And so the next time we came, we always like to try to sit with the same servers. And so we sat in her section again, of course, asked for her and sat in her section again. And again, tipped her good and just, you know, hey, we're praying for you and thinking about you. And she goes, hang on. She goes, before you leave, I just got to tell you something. She goes, that John 3:16 you wrote last time you guys were here. She goes, this is so crazy. She goes, I actually grew up in the church. She says, I haven't been in Lord knows how long. She says, but it brought back memories. Like, she goes, I remember going to vacation Bible school, and that's where I actually memorized John 3:16. And she goes, it was really cool how it just started bringing up memories. And she goes, you know, and so we invited her to church. And it was a really cool moment how kindness paved the way. Kindness was the bridge that opened the door to the possibility of Jesus being experienced. Will I be like Barnabas to those in need? Barnabas' kindness stood up for the marginalized. Look at this chapter. Look at this. He says, when he, Saul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. Saul, right? Tried to join the church. But they, speaking of the church, were afraid of him. And wouldn't you be too, as the persecuted church? Wouldn't you? Well, why would I be afraid of Saul? Why would I be? Because Saul was a Christian murderer. He was a persecutor. He was a violent man. He was an angry man, well-educated, but very angry. That sounds like some of us in this room, very educated, but just angry at life. That was Saul, to the point of killing people. There, at Stephen's martyrdom that we read about at the beginning of the 11th chapter as why the church had scattered. They wouldn't let Paul join the church. When Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him. But Scripture says Barnabas took him, buddy wrapped him, I got you, brought him in right here, brought him into church, sat down with him on the pew, worshiped with Bino and the team, and said, it's all right. What did he say? He said, Saul, he told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord. In other words, this man's, he's one of us. And that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. What is this? It's the power of kindness. It's Barnabas going outside the four walls and saying, who can I wrap my arms around? Who can I be instrumental in bringing into the fold as one of what? Jesus' followers. Let me say it this way. We all need a Barnabas. We all need a Barnabas. We all wouldn't be here if it wouldn't have been for someone who was a Barnabas in our life and wrapped their hand around us and brought us in to church and showed us Jesus. We all not only need a Barnabas, but we all need to be a Barnabas to somebody who needs kindness. Will I be like Barnabas to those in need? It's the power of kindness in Seattle. Quite frankly, we have Barnabas to thank for Paul's 13 New Testament epistles. What would have happened had Barnabas not wrapped his arms around Saul? What would have happened if somebody hadn't shown Billy Graham the Lord? What would have happened if somebody wouldn't have been a Barnabas to Mother Teresa? What would have happened in your life if nobody took time to stick up for you? What can Jesus do with your kindness extended in Seattle? What can Jesus do with your Barnabas-like spirit? Barnabas was a good man, Scripture says. He was a kind man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. I want to point out here that being full of the Holy Spirit, true kindness, church, is an overflow of Jesus in you. True kindness is an overflow of Jesus in you. The result of Jesus in you, the result of kindness, is helping people find and follow Jesus. That's what we're all about. In your family, starting there, helping people find and follow Jesus. In your marriage relationship, helping people find and follow Jesus. In your friendships, those that you have around you, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, with the neighbor across the street, or to the left or right of you, behind the fence that keeps you apart. True kindness is an overflow of Jesus in you. I love this text. You've probably read this before. If not, Galatians is one of the epistles the Apostle Paul, who we've been talking about, wrote. And Galatians, the 5th chapter, let me just read to you this text because it's all about relationship God's way. Listen to this. He gives a juxtaposition of kindness. Listen, it's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Galatians 5, starting at verse 19. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded, lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival. Man, that sounds like a mess of relationship matters. Uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on, he says. This isn't the first time I've warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. Then he gives the other side. Here's the juxtaposition. He says, but what happens when we live God's way? What happens in Seattle when we begin to live, you and I, just one by one, we begin to live God's way? What happens? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people, looking at the best. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. What happens when we live God's way? What happens in our relationships when we begin to be kind? The NIV says it this way. It says, love, joy, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of Jesus, the evidence of Jesus in you is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What happens when we begin to see people as those we can love and not objects of frustration? I love how Plato said it. He said, be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Man, there are people in here this morning. There's some people in here this morning fighting hard battles. Hard battles with your spouse. Hard battles with your children. Hard battles with those who are actively in the workplace. If you're fighting a hard battle, isn't it possible that somebody around you is fighting one too? I like to say it this way. Be kind, Ryan. I got to remind myself, be kind, Ryan, to unkind people. They're the ones who need it the most. Jesus says it this way. When someone gives you a hard time, what do? We respond with the energies of prayer. Additionally, Jesus says, make the first move. Make things right. See, my beautiful wife, she walked out of the room for a minute. But I'll just throw this in there. Be the first one to make the first move. Be the one, because you're the bigger one, right? No. She's probably listening right now. She's going to come back in here and give me the ministry of slap here in a minute. But be the first one to make the first move. Jesus says, make things right. Relationships matter way too much for us to let them just go on in disarray. Relationships matter way too much to Jesus. Relationships matter. So to us, relationships matter. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who is he praying for? The people who were murdering him. Wait, what? Is that in the Bible? Did I read that right? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In his dying hour, Jesus was praying for those who were against him. Now, I know, we should push the pause button here because it's gotten real heavy all of a sudden, huh? But these are relationship matters. And if we can't talk about this stuff here in church, if we can't begin to find healing and hope and joy and peace and kindness in these deep places. Where else can you and I go? Jesus prayed at Calvary for his enemies. So we pray at Calvary for our enemies. Who's actively opposing you? Who are you actively opposing, if anybody? Let me give four disruptive kindness ideas. This is the power of kindness in Seattle. This is what we're all about. Jesus is kind, so we're kind. Four easy little things here, real quick. Four disruptive kindness ideas, and they disrupt, they're disruptive because it gets in the middle of everything we're doing. Just disrupt me, Lord, with kindness. Here's what those things are. Pray for people. Pray for people. Take Jesus' lead and pray for people. I like to do this. I like to just shoot out drive-by prayers. I do. Someone's having a really difficult day, say a prayer for them. The person in front of you cuts you off, say a prayer for them. Somebody curses at you or flips you off, pray for them. Prayers. Jesus says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you've received it and it will be yours. Now, we got to be careful because we're not, Lord, just take them out. Just take them out. Just fire from heaven come down and just take them. I mean, pray for them as Jesus would pray for them. But pray. Send out drive-by prayers. Shoot out prayers of faith, prayers of blessing, prayers of kindness. Pray for people. Two, tip. Just like the story I told you about us at Geraldine's counter. Be generous. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, be generous. Kindness and generosity go hand in hand, as we've seen from the illustration and example in the narrative of Barnabas. Be generous. Tip. Here's a tip. Tip. Wherever you go today, tip. And then invite them to church. Be kind. It's the way of Jesus. I want to encourage you this morning. Tip. Be kind. Smile. Some of us this morning, I can say this because I know what I'm talking about. I do it all the time. Send your face a memo that your heart is happy because your face didn't get the memo. I'm happy. I have the joy of the Lord in my life. I'm glad to be saved. I'm going to heaven. Everything's great, but my face forgot to get the memo that my heart said it was happy. Smile. Did you know that smiling is one of the greatest, simplest acts of kindness you can do to somebody? And I've found as I'm walking around, even just this last week, I'm walking around our community, it shocks people when you smile. You go, good morning, how are you? Good. What are you doing? You're changing the atmosphere. You can't take your cues from other people. Those days are done. And the excuse of doing it tomorrow expired yesterday. So for right now, we're going to do, okay, Jesus, I need your help. Is there anyone I could be a Barnabas to? Well, it may be as simple as smiling at your neighbor tomorrow morning. It could be that. Let's start simple. Let's start in a way that Jesus would. Smile. I love how Jeff Swain with Convoy of Hope, he gave this to me. He says, Ryan, practice the 10-10-10 principle. I said, what's that? He says, 10 is get there, wherever you're going. If he says, let's just take church, for example. Get to church 10 minutes early, okay? Meet new people, be in the hallway, just relax. It's relaxed in it. Grab a cup of coffee, get there 10 minutes early. He says, the second 10 of the 10-10-10 is this. When people are 10 feet away from you, make eye contact and smile. He said, the third 10 is this. When you're in service, he says, when service ends, we'll divide it by two. The first five, when service ends, take 5 minutes after service and meet some new people. And the second five of the last 10 is introduce the people you've just met to someone they don't know. And in it all, smile. Why? Because that's kindness, guys. That's Jesus. Remember, kindness is an overflow of what Jesus has done in you. And as Barnabas was full of the Spirit, my prayer is that I would be full of the Spirit and exude kindness to those around me. Jesus says, make disciples of all nations. Number four is include. all nations. That's a whole lot of people. And so what do we want to do? We want to be inclusive. We want to include those who are seeking and searching, and we want to do what? Help as many people as we possibly can find and follow Jesus. Hal Donaldson, leader of Convoy Hope, says, always do the next kind thing. This is somebody who grew up in severe poverty. His parents were killed by a drunk driver when he was in his formative years. He grew up without a mom and dad. Somebody took him in to their home and were kind to him. This man goes on to have a heart. This man who grew up on food stamps goes on to have a heart and is now feeding. We support them. Convoy Hope. It's one of the big missionary movements that we support. And this amazing organization led by Hal Donaldson, who says, always do the next kind thing. They feed hundreds of thousands of millions of people every year. They clothe people. They give people. They help educate people. They do an amazing work all the way around the entire world. In Haiti and with the tsunamis and with the natural disasters and you name it. We talked about it a few weeks back about the craziness that's going on around the world and how Convoy of Hope, led by Hal Donaldson, is now doing what? He's unleashing kindness. He says, always do the next kind thing. Barnabas' kindness led a once persecutor and violent Paul, like we talked about, to be transformed by Jesus. In turn, hope was unleashed through Paul's letter that introduced and invited people to Jesus. What could God do with your kindness? Will I be like Barnabas to those in need? Paul, transformed by kindness, goes on to say this. He says, God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. God's kindness is intended to lead you to relationship with him. The other day, we were here. Pastor Delaney was here early. She was helping prepare dinner and for the Wednesday night prayer meeting, prayer at Calvary, which, by the way, if you haven't been, you got to join us on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. right here. It's my favorite room. 80,000 square feet of building here, and this little prayer chapel back here is my favorite room in the entire place, and we pray. And as she was preparing, getting ready for dinner, getting things all set up, Lily was with her, and Lily had wandered. Lily decided she wanted to wander away and do her own thing. And I was in my office preparing. I was going through scripture, preparing for the prayer meeting. And then all of a sudden, I see this little face push through my door, and she's just tear stained. She's just, and then she just breaks. And she, I can't understand a word she's saying. So we calm her down. I let her calm down. And then I say, okay, what's going on? And she says, I was lost. I said, well, how did you know where I was? She says, I tried to remember. And she takes me by the hand and she takes me down through the office and we go around and then she takes me to a door. I'm like, why are we here? And she goes, this is where the kind lady let me in. Being the good preacher that I am, I'm like, that'll preach. I'm using that story Sunday. As I am. Why? Because your kindness to somebody who's wandered can be the very door that takes them to the presence of the Father, who will dry their tears, who will love on them, who will caress them, who will hold them, who will heal them, who will speak life into them. You see, Paul said, God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. The third question, where is Jesus leading me next? And we close with this. Being a Christian is all about following Jesus. It's such an exciting adventure. Scripture says this, then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. What did he do? Just like we said earlier, he put his arm around him. Who is God calling you to next? Is there anybody he's put on your heart to say, man, this is who I want you to go and to look for? I want you to go get him. Don't project a no when you invite them to church. Prayerfully believe they'll say yes. He said, I want you to go get him. What is next? Where is Jesus leading you to next, church? Barnabas was all about following Jesus and inviting people to church. I love this, how Scripture says he went to Tarsus to look for Saul. He had one thing on his mind. I'm going to get him. And when he found him, he brought him. See, Seattle will be amazed and recognize Jesus in your bold kindness. They will. They will. You should have seen the look in the teacher's eyes as we just did what? Gave him coffee and said, thank you for what you've done. Oh, Seattle will be amazed. They'll be amazed when you're kind, church. They'll be amazed when you take a risk with bold kindness and you do something that's beyond what you might be comfortable with. Let me tell you right now, I can be up here shouting my little brains out, but it's not easy. See, if we had more time, I'd tell you about how at a soccer game, the Lord said, invite them to church. I went, really? That's not why we're here. And I'm having my own little argument with God. Was I obedient? Yes. Thank God my parents raised me to be obedient. Haven't always been obedient, but Lord, I was obedient to the Lord and I invited them. Will you be obedient? Who is God leading to you to next? You see, they were amazed and recognized that these men had been with Jesus, the book of Acts talks about. It's the power of kindness in their life. They were amazed and recognized these men had been. They're going to be amazed and they're going to recognize that you've been in the presence of Jesus. Why? Because kindness is an overflow of Jesus. The key to unlocking genuine kindness this morning, church, in your life is to spend one-on-one alone time with Jesus. Jesus says it best. He says, follow me and I'll show you how. Isn't that great? Follow me and I'll show you how. I mean, every day, this is my, honestly, I don't just say this, but in my heart of hearts, I bow by my bed at night and I bow by my bed in the morning and I thank God. And I thank the Lord for my time and my relationship with Jesus. I don't know what I would do if I did not have my 5 o'clock hour in the morning, every morning, with Jesus. I don't know what I'd do. I don't know how people live without relationship with Jesus because he gives hope and he's kind. And he'll overwhelm you with his kindness. Like last night when I'm in the closet putting my robe away and he just hits me with love. And with kindness, and I'm just overwhelmed, and I had to get down on my knees, and I'm literally laying prostrate on the floor in my closet. What? What is that? That's kindness. I'm telling you, I'm preaching my brains out this morning, trying to articulate the best I can what I've experienced with Jesus and what this great city of Seattle needs all around us. It's the power of kindness. It is so cool how the first century church's kindness that we read about led to the disciples being called Christians at Antioch. What does that mean? It means they were Jesus people. They were known as Jesus people. Calvary, I want to be known as Jesus people. 92-year young church, here is a beacon of light in this city, and we're just getting started. I want to be known as Jesus people. I want people, when they think of what we do here, to be amazed at how kind we are. Like the gentleman that was invited to church by one of you the other week, and I met in the hallway, and he said, this was really cool. He says, I'm planning on bringing my dad back. Man, this is just a friendly place. A lot of kind people here. I want to be known as Jesus people, kind people. I want to be known as evidence of Jesus. Are you known by those closest to you as a kind Jesus person? Kindness isn't something we do. It's who we are. It's not something we do. It's who we are. Can those closest to you, your friends, your spouse, your coworkers, your neighbors, who is Jesus leading you to next? So persecuted in prison. We read at the beginning of this chapter, it was a church that was persecuted. Again, Paul goes on later, and he's persecuted in prison. But having been with Jesus, having spent time in personal relationship with Jesus, he says this, in prison, mind you, get rid of all bitterness, Get rid of rage. Get rid of anger. Get rid of brawling. Get rid of slander, along with every other form of malice. Be kind. Be kind, he says. In prison, he says this. Wow. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Forgiveness and kindness go hand in hand. Jesus' sole mission is to save you. That's it. He wants to save you. What are you in right now that needs saving? What relationship matter right now are you dealing with that needs saving? Think of Louis. Couldn't have gotten much worse than that. No parents, out on the street singing, trying to figure out what life was all about. Somebody came along and adopted him. That's Jesus today. He wants to save you. He wants to take on whatever you've brought in this place, whatever your mess is, whatever your struggle is, whatever your seemingly hopeless situation is, he'll take it on. He'll adopt you right as you are. Why? Because he loves you and he's that kind. He's that good. When the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, just like it did in Louis' life, just like it did in Lily's life, just like it did in Paul's life, just like it has in your life, he saved us. Jesus' kindness will save Seattle. I believe that Jesus' kindness will save our great city from the north to the south to the east to the west. I believe his kindness will save. It will save marriages. It will save relationships. It will save friendships. It will save families. It will save church congregations. Jesus' love today is readily available and will save. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? I want to give an invitation this morning from God. Those that need saving, those that need kindness, if you've never given your heart to Jesus before and you want to say, you know what, I'm all in today. I'm asking Jesus into my life. I need his saving. I need his kindness. At the count of three, I'm going to ask if you'd raise your hand. And I only ask that you raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for. But if you need the help of Jesus today in your life and you've never prayed a prayer and said, God, I would you come into my heart? I give my life to you. I need you. I believe in you. Would you just put your hand up? One, two, three. Anybody in this building? We want to pray with you. Yeah, I see hands going up. Yep. Any others? Good. Keep your hands up so I know who I'm praying with. Okay. Good. Any upstairs? Want to pray with you. Good. You can put your hands down. Father, I pray every hand that was just raised, God, right now, pray this prayer with me in your heart, those who raised your hand. Lord, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come in and that you would just unleash kindness right now. Thank you that your kindness has been felt. I pray, God, this morning that you would cleanse me and wash me of my sins. Just go ahead, pray this prayer with me, those who raised your hand. Cleanse me and wash me of my sins, my mistakes, those things that I've messed up on. God, would you come into my heart? I want to live wholeheartedly with you. Teach me your ways. You said, follow me and I'll show you how. God, I want to follow you. I found you this morning, God. And I want to follow you all the days of my life. In your precious and holy name, we pray, amen. Now, would you stand with me this morning? And as an act, go ahead, stand up with me this morning if you're physically able. And as an act this morning, As the worship team begins to sing, here's what we're going to do. We have 300 bags up here that were put together. And these 300 bags were put together prayerfully with supplies that you have seen throughout the last month that have been brought. Many of you have brought many of them. Here's the idea. We are going to celebrate today. Our altar call today, our response today is as the worship team sings. As you begin to get out of your seats, we're all going to come. I want to invite you to take one or two bags this morning. And here's the idea. One or two of these bags, you're going to keep in your car with you. And the next time you see somebody who's without a home, somebody homeless, who needs hope, we've all wondered, what should I give them $5? Should I not? Do I take them to eat? What do I do? We want to help you. This morning, take one or two of these bags with a Bible in here, with resources. You can go through here and see what's in here. With socks and scarves and things, not to just give a handout, but to give a hand up and to help people with next steps. People who want jobs, people who need housing, people who need health care, people. We want to help them. And as you take one or two of these bags and you put them in your car, prayerfully with us, partner with us. I know this is a step of faith for some to go, man, I've never done something like that before. I know, isn't it exciting? Isn't it a great opportunity for us to unleash kindness in a city where everybody's going, what do we do with them? We don't know what to do with the homeless. I don't know. Do you know? Yeah, do you know? Well, it's not a money problem. They can all keep complaining and do what they're going to do, but here's what we're going to be known for as Jesus people and people who take a simple bag and one at a time. And you know what? It may not solve all the problems, but just like D.L. Moody said, with complete humility, he said, you know what? I like my way of doing it better than your way of not. So we're just going to start there with bag by bag, one at a time. We're going to unleash kindness. And before we jump into that song, I do want to show you this little video here because I think this is going to get you in the mood to come down here and grab a bag. In the name of Jesus, I'm praying for you right now as this video goes on. I'm praying that each and every one of you will come down and take one to two bags, and we will start by unleashing kindness.